My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, America's last best hope to make the internet safe for absolutely no one, two people who will do pretty much anything for a pizza, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Welcome, Mike.
Welcome, Judy. I don't know if you noticed, there's a pork chop on the breakfast menu at Roberta's today.
Did you have that pork chop?
I saw it go by. I almost grabbed it. I think I'm thinking about it after the show.
They're like
amazing.
Flintstone pork chops. They're huge.
Whoa. It was a beautiful thing. It's, you know, the first time I ever had a pork chop with breakfast, I was in Chicago. Being, you know, a nice Jewish boy from New York, I don't see a lot of pork chops as a breakfast option. But when I was in the south side of Chicago one time, it was like, you know, eggs with bacon, sausage, or pork chop.
Well, for Spiro, that would be bacon, sausage, and pork chop.
But that
and
was
some
my
scrapple.
That was my pork chop epiphany. So every time I see a pork chop with breakfast, I get kind of all flutter.
I think you're in Chicago.
Man, oh, man, oh, man. Things are looking good here, Roberta's. The kale pizza's looking pretty good, too.
Ugh.
That would be the very definition of postmodernism, right? That kale is not popular.
I think I'm over kale. Anyway, you know,
Overkill could be my new heavy metal band. Overkill, my vegan heavy metal band.
I was talking to our beautiful guest while you were indisposed.
Who's charming? whose charming laugh was already
illuminating the studio.
You're funny, I'm sorry.
And I think she's our most recurring guest, isn't she?
Possibly, you're on the short list. Aww,
thank you.
And she was on our highest rated show too.
How about that?
Yeah.
Well, you are a wunderkind.
Oh.
A juggernaut.
Oh, hush.
A superstar.
No, keep going.
As Joe Franklin would say, Judy, she's bigger than big. She's big.
She is Miss Maura Johnson.
All right.
Woo!
Maura Johnson,
hello.
Formerly the music editor at the Village Voice, and currently the progenitor and proprietor and pioneer of Maura Magazine, really at the very vanguard of publishing. Hi, Mark. Good to see
Hello.
You.
Hello. Nice to see you. Nice to be here. It's very exciting. I took some time out from being in the vanguard to, you know.
The vanguard? Well, Village Voice hasn't really been in the vanguard for quite some time.
Well, no. I mean now. That's the past. Let's not talk about the past.
Yeah, they're over.
Unless you're saying, of course, the Mike and Judy Show is a break from the
vanguard. No. I'm saying, you know, we are joined together in this new, exciting paradigm.
The new exciting, you mean the digital holocaust?
Digital.
But you know, it's funny, like Maura has a new magazine. Why don't you tell us what is so unusual about Maura magazine? Can I go get it at the newsstand?
You cannot.
Oh, Grandma.
Well, which newsstand? It depends on which newsstand you're talking about.
Ooh.
Actually. So Maura magazine is a new, I guess we're going to have our 10th issue this week. And it's a
great
weekly publication with cultural reporting and criticism. And it is available right now only through the iOS newsstand. So you can download it onto your iPhone, iPad, iPod Touch. And then you'll get updates every week. You can buy a single issue for 99 cents, a monthly subscription for $2.99 a month, or a yearly subscription for $29.99 a year.
I. That's what's wrong with journalism today.
What?
I said you. iPhone, iPad, iTouch.
So if you have one of those Samsung things,
it's become selfish.
Well, but this is the thing. Like, you know, I'm working with this company, 29th Street Publishing, who have been amazing and who developed the app. And right now, the iTunes App Store is just like the best way to do this. You know, they're working on ways to do it in other venues, but they just offer this like really streamlined solution to get people paid, you know, and that's the ultimate goal, right? I mean, I could put, you know, I've been doing blogging and stuff like since, you know, 1994, but this is like a way to have and sustain really interesting.
Isn't that always the question for every blogger has? How do I monetize this?
Yeah, yeah. And so I'm just like, you know, well, this is one way. Here's how I'm doing it.
But wait, I want to just write for exposure.
Oh.
Oh, well, we've all seen those offers, so looking for writers.
I want someone to give me a pork chop for exposure. I'll tell everyone how great that pork chop was.
Can you put on a new roof on my house for exposure, please?
Yeah. Well, we've been being paid in pizza for quite some time here at the Mike and Judy Show.
This is a labor of love. It's different.
Yes. It's a 501c, and should say, if you want to make a contribution to the Mike and Judy Show via the Heritage Radio Network, membership is encouraged. $60 gets you all sorts of wonderful things. Make sure to check us out. And it's tax deductible. We're legit.
Yeah. But so you actually pay writers, and pay writers better than some, you know, old Vanguard. Well, not Vanguard sites. So it's like some sites that have been around and have a lot more money behind them.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, part of this, I mean, the subscription is sort of a way to aid this, because right now, you know, the way that people make money off the internet with like banner ads and stuff is just so screwy and weird. And like, you know, you can have like these sites that have millions of page views, but they're not making money because they're either running like crappy remnant ads, or, you know, they're just not doing their ad model properly. And so with the subscription model right now, it's, you know, it's built in where if you pay me 99 cents, I'm going to give you like four or five good pieces, you know. And that's like, okay, 25 cents a pop, that's like you know, you can play Ms. Pac-Man for like 5 minutes or something.
Are you kidding? Mora Magazine is the great marketing example of putting a dime bag's worth into a nickel bag.
It's true.
That's it. You exceed expectations.
It's true. That's what I try to do, you know.
So you're an avid reader of Mora, Judy. Tell us about your Mora experience.
My Mora experience, I was a little spazzy with the app at first, and I was like, why? I'm a subscriber. Why am I just getting the same issue?
Yeah. We're working on some user interface kinks, but, you know, again, it's like, it's a learning process for sure.
But so, also, if you're smart and you dig around a little bit, I'm not that clever with the internet things. So it took me a little while. There was a little bit of a learning curve, but okay. I love it. I love that I can get it and read it when I'm trying to go to sleep at night, because I always sleep with my phone.
What are you saying? I sleep with my phone too. I read on the phone, but I've been reading it on the subway.
Oh yeah, it's really great for the subway, because once you just download one issue, then you have
it's
all
quick
the
and
all
short pieces, and short yeah. pieces. Yeah, you know, yeah. And it's really good. Number, like I said, when I first opened it up, I was very surprised. We know you, of course, as a music journalist, mm-hmm. and you're quite famous for being a music journalist. But Mara Magazine, I was reading Steve Earlywine's story about television trends,
yes.
which was great.
Yeah, yeah.
A little academic even, a little bit egghead, kind of like new critical mm-hmm. theory sort of thing going on there. It wasn't just tossed off reviews of records or anything. It's a very thoughtful package.
Thank you.
And
thanks.
So you get four writers a week, four pieces a week.
Yep.
That's a lot of work. Four times a week is quite a bit.
Yeah, it's a lot. I mean, you know, but again, it's better work, because, I mean, you know, when I was at previous jobs that I've had, I mean, I have been in charge of like anywhere from like 12 to 16 pieces a day.
Right.
You know, with The Voice, it was a little slower. It was like 5 to 8 plus the print obligations. But, you know, you sort of like cut corners. And I think with this, where you have like these four or five pieces that are just really thoughtfully written and edited, you know, I mean, usually there is, you know, an editing process that with back and forths with the writers, which I think is great, because you get to really
crazy.
Get down. I know. It's a lost art these days, right? Who does
No, you're
that?
Just supposed to take my copy and do whatever you want with it, yeah. even if you completely change the meaning.
No. That I don't like, too, because that's the worst thing. Like, you know, there's
horrible.
No, like, I mean, it's so funny, because people are like, why'd you name it after yourself? Are you an egomaniac? And I'm like, well, I had Mora.com since, like, 1996, and I figured this would be, you know, like, a really nice,
I
just
love
convenient.
The name.
What could be better?
And then,
be better?
But it's, if you look at it, it's like, I don't want to, like, impose a worldview onto the writers. I just want them to, you know, put out their best work, and that's all.
Would you publish anything by someone who hated Enlightened?
Yes.
Oh!
Of course. I mean, yeah. I wouldn't post, you know, like, anyone who likes Enlightened is an idiot, because then I would take that very personally.
Then we'd have to beat them.
Yes, exactly. But, you know, it's about the multiplicity of viewpoints, and I think that that's something that's lost in the new internet, with like everyone sort of buzz feeding it up and being like 32 things that everyone thinks are funny. Well, you know what, maybe I don't think
well that's
funny.
I mean, that's sort of where it's gone, right?
Yeah,
we talk about this forever. It's like chasing clicks is the new journalism.
Yeah,
and it's just traffic. And, you know, perhaps had you run a few more stories in the Kardashians, you know, maybe you'd still be at the Village Voice.
No, I
Ms.
wouldn't.
Johnson. You know? I mean, but you know, that's the way it's going,
yeah.
And it's so shameful. And you're doing such good work, and
thank you.
I know for a history of the underground jazz in New York, right? That was a wonderful story. I mean, honestly, that's a niche story. I mean, everybody should read it. Everybody who lives in New York and is around the 80s, even you, Judy. I know how you feel about jazz.
But my mom used to sing in jazz clubs. I would read it.
You know, but that's it. That's our shared history. That's it. It's a cultural. You know, milestone or touching point or whatever. It's a very important era, but nothing is going to.
But it can get lost in the shuffle too, right?
No one's going to click through that. Like they're going to click through why Seth MacFarlane needs to be, you know, neutered and tarred and feathered.
Which I don't disagree with, but anyway, but you know,
me neither.
But you know, I think I saw a piece today about on this site called Sports on Earth, which is sort of like MLB.com. Former employer, I will put that disclaimer in there, but it's their like essay site now, and it was by this guy Will Leach, who used to edit Deadspin. He was the founding editor of the Gawker Media sports blog Deadspin, and it was about this site called Bleacher Report, which is, you know, the preferred sort of sports network now for Turner, and which, you know, just again like specializes in like clickbait and really just being, you know, and the thing was like Bleacher Report replaced Sports Illustrated as Turner's partner. And it's like, obviously, like part of that was corporate synergy because I think, you know, there was like a split between Time Inc. and Turner and there was, you know, all this stuff. But again, like it just speaks to like the idea of what quality is and what quality means in 2013.
Well, I saw an ad for, because I've been looking for work, and I saw an ad that BuzzFeed is looking for an editor for cute kitten videos. Like not cute animal videos.
Associate animals editor, yeah.
Please list me as a recommendation when you apply for this job.
You know what? I thought about applying for it, then I thought like I'm going to be the oldest person to ever be the cute animal video editor, and I really like I'm stupid enough as it is. I really don't need to spend my entire day looking at kitten videos.
You sort of live in.
But you know, and the annoying thing too is that like I mean, you know, I give BuzzFeed no unrelenting endless amounts of crap, but like they also have like good writing on their site.
Do.
They have Steve Kandel, who used to work at Spin. Editing these like really long form, you know, these thoughtful long form pieces. They have this woman, Kate Arthur, who like I respect immensely, heading up their entertainment coverage and getting these like she had this great interview with Amy Sherman Palladino, who created Gilmore Girls and Bunheads, and it was this really insightful interview. But it's just like you know when you have part of your brand, and this happened with when I was at Idolator, especially when you have part of your brand that sort of like goes viral in like, you know, whatever way, you know, that sticks with you for life, like. Even when, like, Idolator was doing more, like, less, you know, snark for snark's sake stuff, and people would still be like, oh, well, it's snarky. And I would be like, well, have you read it? You know, but the same thing with BuzzFeed, where it's, like, the kitten videos and the
which
lists,
are entertaining.
Which are, yeah. But, like, they overtake the
yeah.
They overtake the brand in this negative way, and it's, like, we're all just looking at the same, like, dumb crap.
I know, by 4 o'clock, yeah. Somebody sends you that kitten video. You're like, I saw this at like 11:30. Yeah. Come on.
Have you noticed? I mean, you guys all read Gawker and obviously all the Gawker sites, but Gawker specifically, it's become very, to me, one dimensional. The writing seems to be like one riff hammered and hammered over again, even amongst the various bylines. The tone is so monolithic that I've lost interest. It just seems not to be as flavorful as
Oh, I disagree. I think that they actually have a lot of really good writers right now.
I think they're all good writers, but I think somehow being in that same site, it's that level of snarkiness and the style and the self-aware irony has just become contagious on the site. It's hard
to read. Because it's like, I think again, like you have the whole like, you know, Neitz and Zimmerman and other people who are doing like the constant beats. But then you have the longer pieces, like Camille Dodaro, who I used to work with at The Voice. Like, she just had a piece that was really good about this young girl who has progeria and who, like,
oh
became
my God,
this,
that
like,
was
internet.
A really great
story. She became this, like, meme, you know? And, like, people were, like, terrible to her. And Camille, you know, Camille has she wrote about the Juggalos for The Voice, and she wrote about that Is Anyone Up guy, and she wrote about, you know, a lot of other things. She's very interested in, like, the sort of people who are summarily looked down upon in the world. And I thought that piece, I mean, it was a tough piece because it was like, you know, it was about basically how humans can be the worst and how humans on the internet can really dehumanize people. And I think she's great. I love Max Reed's writing. And I really, you know, and Rich Jizviak is always holding it down for really good music. Like the show that I went to last night in the Bronx, the freestyle show. What's up, Brenda K. Starr?
Do you even remember Brenda K. Starr the first time?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Oh, you kids.
No, I used to listen to that stuff all the time. That was like my radio, like, you know, when the Cover Girls did Show Me last night. I mean, and it's the Cover Girls. It's like one replacement member of the Cover Girls. I mean, some of these bands are like LA Guns status of, you know, split. But like, it was like one replacement member of the Cover Girls and then two younger women who had joined the band in 2001. But when they did Show Me, I was just like, oh. It was like perfect. Yeah.
Well, speaking of new music, we're going to hear one of your new faves. Can you tell us?
So one of my new, probably my favorite album of the year right now, and it's not out for another 2 weeks, but it'll start streaming on NPR tomorrow, actually, is the new album by Marnie Stern, The Chronicles of Marnia. It's called, Marnie Stern is this really amazing guitar player who has this like very, you know, intricate Eddie Van Halen-ish technique. But she also just does these songs that are like so life-affirming, and you know, even when she's like trying to figure out like what is, you know, what is wrong with the world or her or the things in between, it's just this really like giddy, I want to figure out everything about life. It's actually, I think, the perfect musical companion, even though it's so like manic and high energy. It's the perfect musical companion to Enlightened for me, because okay, it really feels like the questions that, have you talked about Enlightened on the show yet? Oh,
no.
Well, you know, it's finale is tonight, and I'm very excited. Enlightened is the best show.
Well,
it's on
the dark
HBO.
I'm so out at sea with this.
It's do you know about it at all? Do you know about my incessant like campaign to save it?
It's such a good show. Mike Smith, the interview.
Mike White, yeah.
Mike White, ugh,
yeah.
Those white guy names. The interview he did with New York Magazine this week, where he said the problem is like women are interested in stories about men and women, and men are only interested in men's stories.
Yep.
So
true.
So sad.
Yeah, very sad.
But well, we should get to the song so we can take a break and eat some pizza.
All right, for Mike and Judy Mara Johnson, here we go. Hey, you kids, get off my lawn.
Oh, Mike.
I just, don't know any circumstance in which I would play that music in my
home. I have not been able to stop listening to this record, to the detriment of my other professional obligations, actually. So, yeah.
I love your enthusiasm. I love that your taste in music is so Catholic with a small C.
Thank you.
But I just... I guess I'm out of the demographic. I think that would be good music for one of the kitten videos when you get your new job. That would be good to partner with a kitten video.
I'm not applying for that, God.
You'd be so good at it, though.
I know. It would be fun.
Isn't it about time? You could make your own videos and sort of pump them in.
Oh, my God. There's a lot of cuteness there. There's a lot of cuteness. I could turn Oscar into the new Winston.
Ooh.
Rest in peace.
Oscar could be the new Oscar Wilde. Yeah. So speaking of cats and magazines and fanzines, I was in Kim's on First Avenue,
uh-huh.
Yesterday, the video and CD store. And in the front, there were some Mimeograph fanzines.
Oh, wow.
And I got so excited to see a genuine, old state, not even saddle stitch, right?
Yeah.
Just sloppily stapled on 8.5 by 11 copy paper.
Nice.
And it was called the Meowgazine. Okay, so
it was a cat.
It's the printed internet.
Fans, right? And I was, I'm so going to support this. I'm so going to buy this, right? It was $12.
What?
Okay, it was $11.99, at which point, I put my wallet back in my pocket, Jew that I am. But seriously,
that's being practical.
$3, I was so plopping my money down to support the Meowgazine. $5, you probably would have had me.
This is the gentrification of cats right here.
Okay, but seriously, it was maybe 16 pages stapled, and it looked like, it was a product of the local, mental asylum.
And no videos.
No videos.
You can't embed anything on paper.
And it didn't have one of those, what do you call it? When you turn the QR codes? No, when you change the page and it moves.
VariView.
Yeah.
That would have been worth it.
Or even a fold-in,
I guess it's charm.
Even a kitten stapled to it.
I guess its charm lied in the fact that it was such a disaster. But then I saw there was another Mimeograph punk rock zine, sort of with the same production values, and it was also $12. And what there is right now, actually, there is a nice movement of new literary magazines.
Yeah, definitely.
Gorgeous boutique literary magazines that I don't mind. I guess maybe The Believer was one of the first.
And yeah.
Paris Review is back. Our friends at Electric Literature do a wonderful job. I have no problem dropping $10 or $15 on something like that that's so gorgeous. But this was just this is what fanzine culture has become.
But I, it's funny because I went to a fair over the summer at Pete's Candy Store in Williamsburg. And I went to this zine and comic fair and I bought a bunch of zines and comics. And some of them were very, very nicely produced and they were only they were $10.
Absolutely.
And they were nice. And then, there's this woman whose stuff I love, Cassie Snyder. Do you know her? She is born and bred on Long Island and she does a series called The Worst, this reading series, and she puts out really, really great comics, and they're very, again, priced to move, and really just good. And but I think with that, it's also is there a play? Is the fact that it's about cats and it's expensive? Is it this whole meta joke on?
I was wondering the same
the world.
Sort of thing. It reminded me a little bit of Louis Buñuel, right, the surrealist filmmaker, talked about opening the world's most expensive bar, on Gran Vía in Madrid. On the Gran Vía, and it was going to be called El Canon, the Canon, right? And it was going to be $100 for a cocktail, and he was going to $300 drinks. And the idea was, if you spent $5,000, they'd blow off the cannon. And his concert, right? That was the meta, as he said, of the bar. So he said, I'll be sitting in my house, and every time that cannon goes off, I'll just know another asshole spent $5,000 on my bar.
And now that stuff is the fodder of trend stories in Time Out New York and New York Magazine. It's look, another $1,400 cocktail with gold leaf and foie gras. That's been blended into it. I don't know.
If you go to a bar, not that we would go to these kind of bars, with a bottle service, a stupid bottle of booze is $500, and then you've
been that for a long time. Well, bottle service,
did
table
you know
service,
also
lounge.
That with the Bloomberg soda ban, now the size of bottles of cranberry juice is limited to 12 ounces or whatever.
Well, you say cranberry juice, but what you basically mean is high fructose corn syrup,
right? But I mean,
some cranberry skulking around somewhere in a factory.
Sure, but it's a fine mixer. If you're going to be that, if these people are going to go all the way and pay $500 for a bottle Grey Goose, and
you deserve to pay $12 for your shot of cranberry juice.
Yeah. I liked it when I got you a Bloody Mary before. The bartender here at Roberta said, "Would you like vodka or aquavit?"
Ooh, what did you get?
Well,
vodka?
I went for the vodka because
we
had discussed it, so I erred on the side of safety there.
Next time I'll get the aquavit.
So here's my question for you: If Marcy were to write a story for Mara magazine, and he said, "I cannot have any meat eaters," in this week's magazine, are you going to comply?
No. That's so dumb. So how did that end up working out anyway with the meat eating and the not? Because I heard it was all
Jimmy Fallon doesn't negotiate with terrorists, just like the United States of America.
I mean, I My friend Zach wrote a piece for Noisy that I thought was really spot on. It's like, we're sticking up for reality superstars. I mean, Morrissey is a cranky old bitch, and he, you know, he makes the Staples Center go vegan. He made Colbert's set go vegan for the day. And, you know, who knows if they really do?
Right. I mean, it's probably a PR thing.
Well, the Morrissey's compliance cops must be out in force. But, you know, but the part about that story was, you said we stood up for the reality star guys. I wasn't taking sides. Never was I asked to take a side, or was he trying? Am I trying to be polarized beside the Duck guys? You know, who are pretty funny and they have a TV show and whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not taking their sides. I'm just sort of saying, wow, to make a demand like that, so you need to rebook your show on a moment's notice too.
Yeah,
right.
That was not cool. Okay? That was very unprofessional. Although sometimes they don't even know who the guests are until the last minute. But I mean, like he said in the piece, Morrissey is like has beliefs. As much as I'm not like a vegan, he actually had like Rihanna isn't going to go like, you know, no, we can't have whatever
fun. She tried that, I heard. Right, you weren't on the plane, were you?
Oh, I was not on the plane. I heard about the plane. I had some friends who were on the plane. I was like, at first I was like, oh, I'm sad I didn't get invited on the plane. And then by like day three, I was like, whoa, dude, I would not have lived on that plane.
I thought it was all made up. I just thought it was some, like, you know, one of these like internet hoaxes. And all of a sudden I realized, because I knew people on the plane too.
Yeah, yeah.
Who, you know, wanted to be on the plane because it was a plum gig.
Right. Initially it was. Until the Australian goes streaking down the aisle, you know.
Well, so we only have a couple minutes, but I want to get people to subscribe to Mora.
Yes.
Tell us, what do you have coming up? I think you have a party coming up.
We do have a party.
Can anyone come?
Oh, anyone can
and
come.
And which borough is it in, Mora?
It's in Manhattan. it's Thursday Fancy. Night. We're celebrating the 10th issue. I know that other people wait like 10 years, but I figure it's the internet. Time moves fast. 10 issues. Let's do it. But no, I want this to be the first of a bunch of events around the country and all over the place. So it's at Arrow Bar. It's from 8 to 12. And it'll have readers, including me and Nick Murray, who is my colleague, my former colleague at The Voice, who will be contributing to the 10th issue, which comes out Thursday. And Brad Nelson, who wrote about Texas is the Reason and who is the copy editor, actually, for the magazine.
On a digital web-based iTunes thing.
It's true.
There'll be
it's
no true. there mistake.
No, there will not be. And we have a style book. It's very exciting.
Whoa.
Yeah. Very professional Mora magazine.
I try to be professional.
I love Mora magazine. I love Mora.
Thank you.
I love Mora the person. I love Mora the magazine.
Me
Thank
too.
Thank you.
It's a Mora love fest.
Can I tell people how to get it if they want to
Absolutely.
See?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So if you want to check it out, you can either go to the iTunes store and search on my name, which is Maura, for those of you who might think that it might be with an O. Or you can just go to mora.com/app, and that will redirect you right to the page on the iTunes store that where you can buy it. And you can download the app, get a free issue, and then you can subscribe from within the app or buy back issues. I mean, we had some really great stuff. Like, we had Andy Beta, who's one of my favorite writers. He wrote a piece on, like, football and instant replay and dub music and like the relationship between the three. Chris Ott, who you may know from his cranky videos and you know, his opinions on everything related to music, wrote a really great piece about the My Bloody Valentine record. We had the oral history of the band Unwound by Brad Cohen. This week the lead story is about the new crop of female swimmers who are competing at the elite level, who are all like in their teens.
I have to say, I opened up my new issue of Mora magazine and I saw a story on female swimmers as the lead piece, and I was pretty knocked out by that.
Yeah. It's so cool that there's everything. You know, there's TV, there's sports for people, I'm assuming, who aren't big sports fans normally. Mm-hmm. Music. I love it. Movies. It makes me feel a little younger.
Oh, thanks.
Really? Well, anything that can make Judy feel younger as well is welcome. And once again, it's been the fastest half hour on the internet today.
What are we going out with, Mora?
Are we going out?
I don't know. Do we have any cute?
Do we have the Prince song?
Did we ever get the Prince queued up? I don't think we could find it. I think
no. Prince was.
Prince is AWOL.
Prince has been, you know.
But a nice bit of pop music, that new Prince thing, right?
Yeah, Scootriver. Yeah.
You were there at Ground Zero, right?
I saw the Fallon taping on Friday night, and it was really amazing. He played with his new band. This is his first TV appearance with the new band, Third Eye Girl. The three lady band.
Yeah, they got a lot of style.
And you could eat bacon in there, too.
I think so. I think, you know, there was no bacon served, but I'm sure if I ask nicely.
Oh, he's a Jehovah's Witness, though, so maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
I would actually let the Jehovah's in if Prince and Coco Roca came to my door.
All right. For Judy McGuire, I'm Mike Edison, Mar Johnson, and Joe the Engineer. Thank you guys. Here we are on the Heritage Radio Network. We'll see you next week.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.